Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Samuel 14. Second Samuel 14. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was inclined toward Absalom. So Joab sent to Tekoa and brought a wise woman from there and said to her, "Please pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning garments now, and do not anoint yourself with oil, but like a woman who has been mourning for the dead many days. Then go to the king and speak to him in this manner." So Joab put the words in her mouth. Now when the woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and prostrated herself and said, "Help, O king." And the king said to her, "What is your trouble?" And she answered, "Truly I am a widow, for my husband is dead. And your maidservant had two sons, but the two of them struggled together in the field, and there was no one to separate them, so one struck the other and killed him. Now behold, the whole family has risen against your maidservant, and they say, 'Hand over the one who struck his brother, that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed, and destroy the heir also. Thus they will extinguish my coal which is left, so as to leave my husband neither name nor remnant on the face of the earth.' Then the king said to the woman, 'Go to your house, and I will give orders concerning you.' And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, 'O my lord the king, the iniquity is on me and my father's house, but the king and his throne are guiltless.' So the king said, 'Whoever speaks to you, bring him to me, and he will not touch you anymore.' Then she said, 'Please let the king remember the Lord your God, so that the avenger of blood may not continue to destroy, lest they destroy my son.' And he said, 'As the Lord lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground.' Then the woman said, 'Please let your maidservant speak a word to my lord, the king.' And he said, 'Speak.' And the woman said, 'Why then have you planned such a thing against the people of God? For in speaking this word, the king is as one who is guilty, in that the king does not bring back his banished one. For we shall surely die and are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away life, but plans ways so that the banished one may not be cast out from him. Now the reason I have come to speak this word to my lord the king is because the people have made me afraid. So your maidservant said, 'Let me now speak to the king. Perhaps the king will perform the request of his maidservant. For the king will hear and deliver his maidservant from the hand of the man who would destroy both me and my son from the inheritance of God.' Then your maidservant said, 'Please let the word of my lord the king be comforting. For as the angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and evil, and may the Lord your God be with you.' Then the king answered and said to the woman, 'Please do not hide anything from me that I'm about to ask you.' And the woman said, 'Let my lord the king's king please speak.' So the king said, 'Is the hand of Joab with you in all this?' And the woman answered and said, 'As your soul lives, my lord the king, no one can turn to the right or to the left from anything that my lord the king has spoken. Indeed, it was your servant Joab who commanded me, and it was he who put all these words in the mouth of your maidservant in order to change the appearance of things your servant Joab has done, this thing. But my lord is wise, like the wisdom of the angel of God, to know all that is in the earth.' Then the king said to Joab, 'Behold, now I will surely do this thing. Go, therefore, bring back the young man Absalom.' And Joab fell on his face to the ground, prostrated himself, and blessed the king. Then Joab said, 'Today your servant knows that I found favor in your sight, O my lord the king, in that the king has performed the request of his servant.' So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. However, the king said, 'Let him turn to his own house, and let him not see my face.' So Absalom turned to his own house and did not see the king's face. Now in all Israel was no one as handsome as Absalom, so highly praised from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no defect in him. And when he cut the hair of his head, and it was at the end of every year that he cut it, for it was heavy on him, so he cut it. And he weighed the hair of his head as 200 shekels by the king's weight. And so Absalom there were born three sons and one daughter, whose name was Tamar, and it was a woman of beautiful appearance. Now Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem and did not see the king's face. Then Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but he would not come to him. So he sent again a second time, but he would not come. Therefore he said to his servant, 'See, Joab's field is next to mine, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire.' So Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Then Joab arose, came to Absalom's house, and said to him, 'Why have your servants set my field on fire. And Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I sent for you, saying, 'Come here, that I may send you to the king to say, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me to still be there. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there is iniquity in me, let him put me to death.' So when Joab came to the king and told him, he called for Absalom. Thus he came to the king and prostrated himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom." Amen. So David has a very, very good servant, which would be Joab. And remember, Joab was one of what they call the mighty men. And Joab is perceiving the pain that's in the heart of his father. Remember, it says there that David was very much inclined towards his son. And so for whatever reason, he had a really soft spot in his heart for Absalom. But he feels like he really can't do anything about it. And so Joab, being a very good servant, prepares this strategy. And this strategy is very easy. He sends for the woman of Tekoa. Now, Tekoa is quite far away from Jerusalem. And so most likely Joab was very wise in doing this because, one, her story would not be recognized in the court in Jerusalem because it's so far away. And two, there wouldn't be enough time for them to investigate if this is a true story or not. So Joab, being very wise, brings this woman from a very far away place, brings her to the court, and he says, "Now this is what I want you to say to the king." And so she relays exactly this thing. And if you remember, this is according to their Jewish custom. And there's two matters at hand. One is the blood guilt of the one son who has killed the other son. And so by their own traditions, their own customs, that one could very easily be put to death. But the mom hides the son. Now that's one aspect. The other aspect we learn later on, it says that in verse 9, it says, "The iniquity is on me and my father's house." And so sometimes, according to their custom, let's say in this woman's case, she actually took on the burden of the sins or the weight of her son in the sense that her life is now on the line. And so David says, "Don't worry, no one's going to touch you in this case." And so she kind of goes above and beyond the call of duty. So all this happens, but here's a phrase that's used. In verse 7, he says, "Thus they will extinguish my coal which is left." Now, in the Jewish custom, so just because we may not understand this, life was relayed to light. And so when they said, if you took out someone's light, it's basically taking out their life. And so what she's relaying there is she's saying that they will extinguish my coal. So it's actually quite poetic language. In other words, that even my chance of having a light would be extinguished here in this regard. And you could see Psalm 132:17, 2 Samuel 21:17 will also talk about one part when they were defending Israel. They would talk about the light of Israel in this regard, which again equated to life in this way. So just make that connection. And so she's saying they're going to extinguish my coal, you know, the very thing that actually gives light. And so you know, her life and no remnant, all this would be taken care of. And so the king, in his wisdom, says, "Okay, I understand the situation, extenuating circumstances. Don't worry, this matter is done with. And if anyone threatens or harms you, bring them to speak to me. And so you're good now." And so then the woman, and this was her strategy to begin with Joab, says, "Do you mind if I speak?" And his king says, "Yes." And look at the words he says in verse 13. "Why then have you planned such a thing against the people of God?" Now, the reason why she says this is that she's under the impression, as well as most other people, that Absalom would be the heir to the throne. And that's actually what David is thinking as well. And so that he would be the next in line. And so her point is simply this, is like, if my son dies, now think about it, if my son dies, we have no remnant and our future is wiped out. Then she's telling the king, "Now, but if Absalom dies, or, you know, or he's, whatever happens to him, then this is a detriment. So she's thinking of a private affair of her own family. He's saying if Absalom dies or is punished or whatever the case may, it's a detriment to all of Israel because he's going to be the next king. And so she draws King David into a small, a private matter and has him see the bigger picture of a public matter, which is the next king of Israel. And so David turns and he gets the analogy. He understands this thing and he basically says, okay, I understand. And then he turns to her and says, let me ask you a question now. You know, basically, did Joab put you up to this? And of course, she says, yes, he has. But notice Joab, or his heart over to Joab, is very soft in this regard. Now, brothers and sisters, I hope that along your life's journey, that you have some friends in your life that see kind of what's going on in your heart, to kind of see what you don't say, but see the anguish like David. David was going through anguish over his son Absalom. But he felt like because of his civil duty as a king, that he couldn't really do anything for him. But that's actually wasn't really true because he's the king. And so, but in this regard, and the matter between this woman and Absalom, the treachery was one thing, but the avenging of the blood of his sister Tamar for what he had done was righteous. And so this kind of borders on gray area in many ways in Jewish law and custom. But even regardless of that, in the midst of this, he is so thankful to Joab for kind of piercing past all the other fluff to get to the real heart of the matter, in that the king has a son and his son is away, and that should not be the case. I hope that we have friends in our life that are, have the wisdom and the heart and love for us to kind of tell us when we're going off track, in some ways. We had a staff meeting this past week, I just got on this riff like a lot of times that I do in these meetings, and I just said, hey, one thing that happens, when pastors, when leaders, when we get older, we start doing and saying things that if you're a young man, you wouldn't do or you wouldn't say. And this is like one of those reasons why down the road, we know that a lot of leaders don't finish well. For whatever reason, and some of the things that happens there is sometimes a lot of people, and I think men, you have to be very, very careful of this in your life, is that as you age, it is actually scientifically proven that you get angrier and grumpier. This is scientifically proven. And so it's just something that happens. We know that if you look at really old men, you'll notice that they have humongous ears, and their nose gets bigger because your ears and your nose actually keep growing even though everything else stops. That's scientifically proven. Also, emotionally, scientifically proven, men, when they get older, they get grumpier and they get angrier. And so that may attest to some of these things because, a lot of church leaders are older. And so, are men, okay, in this regard. And so there could be something that's said that as a pastor gets older, they may do things they would not have done as a younger man in terms of their temperament and these kinds of things. And we started talking about all these different things, and I told the staff, and I gave them permission. I said, when I get older, I'm still kind of young now, but I'm getting there. When I get older and I start like going off on stuff and I start saying weird things in the pulpit, and it's more akin to my age, these kinds of things, I said, please rebuke me. Please, have enough heart and love for me and love for the body that you would take me aside and said, hey, P. Sam, I don't know if you should have said this or you should have done this or something to that effect. This is just good brotherhood in that regard. And Joab, he's a good servant of the Lord. He sees the anguish of his master, of his king. And then, I mean, you know, okay, we don't want to start lying. You know what I mean? And so that kind of stuff. But maybe that was the only way to get to the king's head, you know, for the king to see, you know, kind of something like this in that regard. I don't know. I don't know exactly how this thing plays out in that way. But it was so important for them to come. Actually, Nelly, do you mind if you can take her outside? Okay, especially for morning prayer. And so, you know, so it's kind of very important that his servant came and he spoke to really what was on his heart. And I think he did it in such a way that kind of David was kind of off the hook. You know, because if he can be kind and show that kind of justice to a far-off servant, surely he can show that justice to his son. And, you know, that's basically the situation that happens. And, you know, and I pray that maybe, and this is, you know, something we encourage at church is accountability, brothers and sisters, right? That you surround yourself with a few people, you know, not too many. I think accountability groups should be no more than four people, yourself included, so you and three other people. And so you have this small group of people, and they can really speak into your life, you know, about different things. I mean, I recall a very good friend. Actually, my friend is coming here in May to speak on Sunday, and then he's gonna go with us and speak to us at our staff retreat. But I remember one of my best friends, and you know, I was dating this girl, and you know when you're kind of in these relationships, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but like everyone knows that she's bad for you, except yourself. Have you ever been in that kind of situation? Like all your friends, everyone knows. And there's nothing necessarily like she's not evil or anything like that, but she just, it's not compatible. You know, where you are in your life and your relationship with God and where she is in her life and her relationship with God, it just doesn't fit. But everyone sees it except yourself. Well, I was in one of those situations where I was dating this girl and all my friends knew except for me. You know, and I'd be like, ah, don't be a jerk, you know, and just kind of chill out, blah, blah, blah. And, but my friend, Tommy, like I said, you're going to meet him in May. Man, he would just get on my case, man, right? He would just be all over me over and over and over and over again, you know, in this regard. And so, you know, and he helped me to see what I couldn't see on my own, in that way. And so it was a really, he's a really, really good friend, you know, and I pray that you have really, really good friends in your life that will, in a very wisely, speak into our lives, especially when, you know, we have some blind spots, we have some areas that maybe need some refining. Not that David's not sinning in this regard. But maybe, you know, friends that can speak into our lives in such a way. And so Joab does this. And so that's what he does. He recalls Absalom back into Jerusalem. He brings him back to the foreign land and brings him back into town. But the king still is dealing with stuff. And so what the king does, he doesn't allow him to enter into his court. So you can come to Jerusalem, you stay in your own house and you hang out there, but you're not going to do that. You're not going to come into the court. So David is still dealing with Absalom's sin in that regard, or his killing of his brother. And so he does not allow him to come into the court. But I mean, he will eventually. He's just, you know, David needs some time for everyone in the kingdom to recognize that this is a grievous act in this regard. So that's what happens. Now we get a little clue of what Absalom is about. And he's this very, very handsome man. He said this guy's like head to toe, you know, there's like everything perfect about him. And even his hair, he was known for his hair. He must have had some crazy hair, in the sense that he cuts it every year, and every year is 200 shekels. Now, it's really hard to really ascertain exactly how heavy that is, because it says it's the king's weight, and the king's weight was a little different than the regular weight. But if you go through this, a shekel, if you do the math, shekel was like 0.4 of an ounce. So you mark that together, man, that's a lot of hair, man, this guy has. And so he's known for his glory. And the crazy thing is, if you remember, fast forward, you remember how he dies? Remember, his hair gets caught in the tree and stuff. And so, I mean, this is a great lesson. The very things that you may think are your strength may eventually be the thing that brings you down. And these are kind of the weak spot. I mean, we'll get to that later on when we get to that passage. And then we also get a little clue of Absalom's heart. So he asked Joab to come. Joab doesn't, because he's under the king's orders. The king's not going to see him. And so Absalom is like this big baby. If he doesn't get his way, he's going to make a fuss. I mean, he's like a kid that you go into the store, you know, you take your kid to a store and they want a toy and you don't want to buy him the toy. And Absalom's that kid who falls on the ground and starts, just start moving around and creates this huge tantrum. That's exactly who Absalom is, right? Why? How do we know that? Because he goes and puts on fire Joab. Joab, the very guy that brought him back, risked his own life, actually, to deceive the king and brought him back from exile. And he goes and burns a portion of his field. And so the writer here is giving us a little glimpse of Absalom's heart. And that will lead us into the next chapter in that regard that we'll get to next week, okay? So let's close our eyes. Now, I talked about, I hope that you have a friend like that. Let me turn it now and say, I pray that you would be that kind of friend. That you could speak justice or truth into injustice. That you could be the kind of friend like Joab, that when there's, obviously when someone is sinning in their life, that you would call them out. Remember, this is what Paul talks about being spiritual. You who are spiritual, restore the one that is weaker. So that's part of spirituality in one sense. And so we can kind of deal with that. The other one too, right, is not just when they're in sin, but when they're unable to see. And this is not a sin issue, but when they're unable to see what you see. And I pray that you'd be a good friend and that you would draw them out of that place and help them in some way to see the light. Maybe you can encounter, or you're thinking about a situation right now in your life where a good friend of yours or a family member, I mean, is sinning, then please restore the one. But even apart from that, it could simply be the case where they're kind of don't see. They're blinded in some way. And let's pray for opportunities to speak truth into their lives.
Lord, I come to you. By the power of your love,
Let's pray this morning. Yeah, let's pray that we be a good friend. We be the kind of friend that would speak life to other people. That either they're dealing with sin or something else. Maybe a blind spot that's not really sin per se. And that we would be like Joab that can speak life and create circumstances or create a situation where life can happen. Maybe if you're dealing with this one issue and you're asking God for wisdom or, Lord, how do I do this? How do I approach this? Ask. Ask and you shall receive. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray over our community. And let's pray for our brothers and sisters that are battling through cancer, going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community as they battle through illness, but also that they need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our community as they battle non-cancer-related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's open door and His provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan, Korea, and Cambodia. Let's pray for in Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Ask the Lord to continue to bless her, to keep her healthy, especially in the midst of the cold weather, that she would do her language studies well and her ministry to the church would go well. Let's pray for our little burgeoning church plant in Seoul. Let's pray for Eunsung and Janice, that the Lord would build a team around them. Let's pray for Cambodia and particularly Oasis House and the ministry of Pastor Jenny Oh. This is Pastor Robert Oh's wife, who's here on Sunday. And this is the inner healing home that he was talking about. And let's pray for God's hand upon them. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's ask God's hand to be upon our leaders. Let's pray that they would operate in the wisdom of God and really be proactive in leading us in our missional endeavors as a church. Let's pray for our local outreach, Agape, Homi, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's ask God's hand upon them as they lead us. Pray for strength and energy as they go out every week, and pray for Holy Spirit to empower their actions and their words. Let's pray over our Friday evening activities. Let's pray for SPU, EG, discipleship class, and IP. Let's pray Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us as we meet together, as people are ministered to. Oh, there's also GIC class tonight too. Let's lift up. Let's pray for House Church tonight as well. Let's pray for McCain and McRobinson. Let's pray that they would draw near to the Lord, that through their time and discussion and worship and fellowship, that that the Lord would show up and they would love God more because they came. And lastly, let's pray over our retreat. And let's ask God to speak to Bobby, Connor, and RT. RT picked up his China visa, but Bobby is applying right now. So pray that there'll be no issues, that they will be able to get their China visa very easily. Lord, we'll give them messages to speak into our community. Let's pray over all the logistics as well, you know, the bus rides, the room assignments, everything dealing with the hotel. Let's pray also for our congregation that we would have open hearts to really receive what God wants to give to us during this time. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, again, thank you for your word today, God. Thank you for Lord, men like Joab, Lord, that even without David saying anything, God, because he was such a good friend, a good servant, God, he could perceive, Lord, the pain that was in the king's heart. God, and then he set about, Lord, to make sure that that pain was resolved by bringing back his son Absalom. And so, Lord, we ask, God, that we would be friends like that, Lord, to other people around us, that we would be able to speak truth in people's lives, God, or truth in love, Lord. God, help us, God. And I pray that we would also have friends that could speak truth into our lives, Lord, when we need it, when we can't see it ourselves, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We love you. Watch over us today as we seek to give glory to your son, Jesus, in all that we do and say. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys over the weekend.